We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas, and with me today, we got Reality Check Master Tiffany Meeks.
Hey, how you doing?
We're moving, we're grooving. We are approaching February in the calendar of life and in the NBA, the Gregorian and NBA calendar. February, which means All-Star, which means deadline, which means teams got to make a decision on who the hell they are. Also joining me today, Kenny Spence of Pregaming, our Miami Heat pregame show. Kenny, how are you, my friend?
I'm great. I do want to acknowledge this is like my fourth show in 24 hours. I just want some credit from the audience for my Heat coach work ethic.
You are Kyle Lowry in that stretch where he played a million minutes and there was nobody here.
So y'all gonna see Kenny for like 2 weeks.
I'm gonna be like Spo and give Kenny a suspicious leave of absence.
He on minutes restriction.
Yeah, he's on minutes. Yeah, okay, we gotta make sure that you're good. Man, let me tell you something, guys. I went for a run yesterday, and I've never felt older. I'm 30 years old. The inside of my knee hurt, and I was like, God damn, is this it? Like, I can't imagine these players. Damn.
Oh yeah, no. I haven't ran since I was like 22.
Jesus Christ.
So, yeah. I'm good on that. Tip, congratulations, though.
That was a fucking, you know, that was a harsh reality I had to face.
I know you gotta get new shoes, G.
No, they're nice. They're the Hokas. The Hokas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I got. Nice. They're blue. They're nice. Yeah, they're nice light. Yeah, you know, it's we're getting at that age. But Bam Adebayo is not at that age. He's a young man. He's a young springy man, and he is. Guys, he's the Heat's best player, right?
I agree with that. I will say, we kind of do this every year with Jimmy also. So we're like,
we kind of
categorize
season.
Him as the regular season version. Yeah, regular season, absolutely. Yeah. I don't think there's any question Bam's the best player this regular season.
Tiff, I feel like he's earned that at this point.
No, Bam's the best player, period.
Yeah.
He's leading them in scoring, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He's, you know, Jimmy's no slouch. Vic is no slouch, but Bam's the best defender, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, I mean, I probably should stop there. That's all I need.
Tiffany Meeks.
It is all you need.
What distilling it for the audience in a way that, you know what's funny, Tiff? This is why.
Reality Check Master.
No, that's why I love Tiff, because I'm here looking. I'm like, man, look at his EPM and the lineup there. And Tiff's like, he scores. He puts the ball in the basket the most, and he stops the other team from putting the ball in the basket the most. Guys, I think that, and I'm like, gosh darn it, you're right. And sometimes it's that simple. It's that simple. You know, we don't have to overcomplicate something that's clear to us. When it comes to playoff time, it's a different conversation with the way that perimeter players affect games, with the way things are officiated and everything, and the way that the league has changed. But Bam is not only durable, and if not for a freak hand injury, you know, he probably plays. You know, he's one of those guys that, you know, you trust to be there, and if they rest him, it's because, you know, that, you know, I think they're trying to give the young man some rest. But I mean, on both ends of the floor, let's talk about the scoring. And I want to go past he's being aggressive. I think not that he's a great mid-range shooter, Tiff, but he is such a willing and confident mid-range shooter that I believe his percentages aren't good, but he hits enough of them that it's a problem for other defenses. And he has a relentlessness when he's a roller. He rolls with purpose. And now he has a legitimate counter move that he's confident in. And he's a good free throw shooter, which, by the way, he didn't come in the league a good free throw shooter. He became a good free throw shooter. I think, Tiff, that is the most important development of this season for the Heat long term.
It is. The fun thing is, even yesterday when he missed the shot, I was surprised. Like, because to me, once he starts rolling, he doesn't miss. Like, and it doesn't matter. The shot can look awful. He can jump off the wrong leg. It, you know, he can fade the wrong way towards the defense. And he, it's the confidence, because clearly he's worked on his game. Like, we'd be remiss to say he hasn't. Clearly he has. But from last year until now, you could just see that that man knows that he is the guy, that he can be the guy to help bring us to wherever we need to get to. And sometimes confidence outweighs talent. If you you feel it, that you are that guy, listen, it can propel you to do really good things. And but not to take away from his talent, because like you said, that mid-range, no, he's not great, but he's really good.
He's up to 45% from mid-range, which has gone up in the last weeks. That's getting good. Now we're talking about, you know, he's in the 65th percentile for his peers. That's good.
And I do want to give him credit for two things before we move on. So, G, you mentioned the free throw shooting. I want to acknowledge I was at his first preseason game. I just wanted – I'd seen somebody I really wanted to see him play. Spo didn't play him until, like, the last 4 minutes. He was trying him in post-ups. Bam shot 8 free throws, and he missed 8 free throws. And so I wanted to give him credit for improving that year after year. I think – is he 80-something percent from
free
throw?
He's 80% this year.
Yeah.
He was 75 80%,
that's incredible.
Yeah.
Second season at 80%. And he's done it before.
Yeah. And the second thing I want to give him credit for, we mentioned the mid-range jumper. I want to acknowledge that over the past, I want to say week, that jumper made him really dominant against matchups that he struggled against in the past because he didn't have it. So Brook Lopez twice against the Bucks, and the combination of Robert Williams and Grant Williams last night.
I think Capella.
And so that's something I'm excited to see moving forward.
And also Capella. Not that they had a good game, but that second half, I thought he got going. And Capella's a guy that was really unavailable in that playoff series until the end, when he was, you know, unfortunately a little dinged up. And I think that, I mean, Capella's kind of the archetype, right? Very physical, very long, very tough, you know, very smart player. That's kind of what. So, Kenny, absolutely right. Credit to Bam. People in chat loving it, man. We got Poulter Gossam saying that hook against Tatum was delicious. That sounds like a Siobhanism. I love you, Vaughn. She couldn't be here today. I had to start a little earlier, but hopefully we'll get around next week. They also say Bam finally showing the offensive leap. We have no outside shooting to balance it out. We're going to get to that later. Cartiliana says, watch Giannis like Bam in the All-Star game. Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great.
Oh, man.
They're good friends. Yeah. Bam's friends with everybody, bro. Bam's friends with Tatum. Yeah. He seems like a super likable dude, which is, you know.
Right.
Yeah, which honestly bodes well for their future of hopefully guys kind of come here to play with him, because he seems – you know, not that I am a Bill Simmons fan, because I'm not, but I used to like what he used to say, like, guys had a factor of, like, do I want to play with that guy? And I think Bam has that. I think he looks, like, very joyful to play with, loves his teammates, super unselfish.
And I was going to say, unselfish is the key. Yeah.
Yeah, and even with the on-the-floor stuff, I think it's very attractive for any player to not have any worries on defense. because they know they have a guy like Bam backing them up. Now, that's not to say they should rely on that. You have guys sometimes relying on it too much, and it's a little stressful right. for them. But I think that's very attractive for guys to have.
Right.
Man, 25 and what was it? 30 and 15? What was it? 25, 15, 30 and 15 last night?
It was like 30 and 12, 30 and 15.
So, I think he had 16 rebounds or something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just
– I'll look it up while y'all talk.
But 30, 15.
But the best part about all of that, what did he – tell me what he had at the end of the first half.
Oh, I have no idea.
That's a great that's a great question.
Impressive. I think he had nine points.
He struggled. He was struggling.
I really think – he struggled. Yeah, I think he had 9 points. So to go from there and to finish with what he finished with, that just shows you the maturation process. That mentally, he went into the locker room, took stock of what was happening, came back and said, "I got this."
And from
that wasn't
behind,
really there before.
The guys, like, from behind, like he let. Yeah, I mean, their defense obviously is to credit, and that's Oladipo and Bam and Highsmith and all those guys. But offensively, I mean, he was really the spearhead of that comeback. And I mean, really on both ends, if we're being honest. But I mean, that's what franchise players do. That's what Dwayne Wade used to do.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're down? I got this. Oh, a team that we should be beating at home that doesn't have, you know, three of their best players? I got this. Or two, whoever the hell was missing. It was Brown and Marcus and I think somebody else. And Al Horford. So, I mean, just the development there, the fact that they're using him differently as well. While he's still a pick and roll man, he's facing up more. He's getting that ball in that mid post. He's that little hook shot has gotten really, really nice. Has great touch on it. It's kind of looking for that first step. I think they also don't think they overcomplicate his life. I think that kind of making him kind of handle the ball up top isn't really the solution, which I think they tried it some last season and it just kind of looked awkward. I think getting him the ball in kind of those mid post areas, letting him work with his jumper, with his first step, with his quickness. And not that Tiff, he's a big passer this year, but you know that he has it in the toolbox. He's just focusing on scoring.
Right. And honestly, that's fine. Like, I'm not looking at Bam being like, "I need my 6 assists." I don't give a damn. I want Bam to keep doing what Bam is doing. Because if the best thing I saw that he did last night, and I think we showed that clip on Hangover Time, he made the stop on defense, got the ball, took it end to end, and said, "Absolutely not. Yes, I got Tyler on one side. I got Max on the other side. What y'all going to do is rebound because I'm going to the basket." Like, and sometimes you – because here's the thing. Like, okay, you could spray it out to one of them, but sometimes you need sheer force. Like, you need to put your will on someone. And him making those types of plays, that gets the defense on their heels. Like, that's when you say, okay, Bam is coming. Now you don't know what he's going to do because he can pass, as we know, and he can take you off the dribble and get to the basket. I love that part of his game now. And my thing is, whether he passes it or he takes the shot, just seeing him get out in the open on the break, I love that.
And credit to Spo also because in previous years he was using Bam obviously more as a hub to go through as far as the playmaking goes, but now using him as a play finisher. And G, you've mentioned this before, they're setting the screens lower now.
Lower and
so
higher.
Now he is both. Yeah, both. But when they set it lower, it gives him an opportunity to be a pop threat because he's popping into areas where he's comfortable shooting. And so that opens things up for him. So credit for Spo for recognizing his improvement and kind of getting him involved in that way also.
I loved yesterday there was a play. Tiff and I talked about it a little bit after the Hangover Time episode ended where it was where Hero got the runner, and Bam set the screen probably like 3 feet above the 3-point line, and it got Williams in a drop. And Williams, you know, if you're a defender, you can't defend that high up because Tyler has kind of the proven playmaking at this point that Bam is quick enough that once that pass is there, the Celtics are playing at a disadvantage because your biggest guy is out of the picture and their biggest guy is coming downhill. And, you know, so you got to sink and you got to, and, you know, Tyler's having a bad shooting night. So, you know, okay, we'll concede the three. And Bam rolls, times the roll well, makes Robert Williams have to really kind of stay around and gives Hero mm-hmm. the lane where he can get to his spot mm-hmm. and hit a tough runner. And those are the kinds of plays that you're just going to think, oh, wow, nice runner by Hero. They have great synergy together. They're developing good. Their two youngest good players are developing chemistry together. And I just want to credit that guy's IQ because what he sees on the floor, we are seeing his mm-hmm. evolution of, hey, let's do this, right? Or let's run this, or I can do this. And I could start manipulating the floor a little bit so we don't have to be mm-hmm. predictable. Because I think the Heat's biggest problem last few years, Steph and Kenny, is their predictability mm-hmm. on offense. And I think he's giving them a bit of variance.
Yeah. It's nice when you have this guy who is a hybrid of sorts, because Bam can do a lot of things. And within the last year and a half, all of a sudden, the league realizes we have to guard him. Mm-hmm. Like, we literally have to send a man out to meet him wherever he is. And I think that's one of the best things that ever happened to this team.
Yeah, and what's been happening lately is it's gone from we have to guard him to we have to double him. And now that's opening things up. And it hasn't looked as good as it potentially can because they've struggled with shooting. But that's why their shot quality is so good, because teams have to account for Bam. And so with that being said, once again, I just want to credit him for his growth, because if the shots start falling, this team looks a lot different. And a lot of that is because of what Bam is opening up.
And Bam's not a shaky passer. Like, and I don't, you know, I don't think, I know Embiid's had good passing numbers. What I mean by shaky passers is, can you make a decision under duress? And I think, you know, everybody's like, Tatum's an improved playmaker. Tatum is an improved playmaker. That is an element of Jason Tatum's game that he has improved. And last night, Tiff, you saw.
But talk about those fourth quarters, though.
Yeah.
One through three, he's real good. But when it's the fourth quarter and it's 2 minutes left, he does not handle pressure well with the ball.
And that's a tough thing to ask, because a scorer is used to scoring. And when you're now given playmaking responsibilities, it's a different element, and you need to see defenses different. And like, Jason whipped a pass, like, cross his body in the first half to, like, I forget, I think Derek White in the corner or something. It was an incredible pass. So you're just like, man, that's one of those, like, LeBron passes where you're like, damn. And in the fourth quarter, and I think credit to, you know, that's kind of a Spoism forever. You know, you kind of put pressure on guys that you're just like, I dare you to make a play here. Not because and it came late. Unlike what they did against Atlanta, where I thought they were doubling way too early in the clock. You know, they came at Jason when it was like 7 or 10 or whatever. And at that point, you got to make a quick decision, because you might not get the ball back, and that's what you want. And, you know, Hero picked off the pass and game over. Bam doesn't have that, right? So, Kenny, to your point about doubling Bam, he sees he's always seen help coming. I think he's a much more natural passer than a lot of these guys, especially at his position. And I think doubling him with the way that Jimmy cuts, the way Oladipo cuts, kind of what they have around them, I think that gets a lot more precarious for other teams.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Like I said, it just opens up things. Now, I would like to see more guys cut.
Yeah.
Take advantage of that, especially with the shooting not going. But it's looked good. So, I won't say it looks good, but it works out at times.
They're just not good. Nobody's good. I mean, even Bam is having his lowest season at the rim since his rookie year. You know, he's at 66%. And that's just not, you know, they're just not good finishing. And part of that is, you know, the shooting teams are just helping and sinking in the paint. I mean, I think you saw, I think the Oklahoma City game was the most extreme version of that, where they just had nobody outside.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know,
and I think, and if you look at the way the team is constructed, they don't have a lot of guys who can even cut to the basket. Like, you know, not trying to be like, you know, not trying to be like bad mouthing the players, but like realistically, you see the same guys that cut to the basket.
Vic, Jimmy.
Sometimes
Max.
Tyler on occasion.
Max sometimes.
And I was going to say, Tyler on occasion, Max, And then
and Hamish.
And Hamish. Those five guys will try to get in there.
But it's not a lot.
No, it's not a lot. Yeah. It's not a lot. But if I can name them,
yes,
that's not
we should and it's not a single anyone out, but I definitely think we should see a lot more of that from Caleb. I think with him being probably the team's most athletic player outside of Bam.
I think he's hurt.
I don't think physically he can.
Yeah, I think he's hurt.
Not right now. Yeah.
There's something off. Right. Tiff, you see it, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I see it too, yeah, definitely. He's injured.
When he went for a dunk the other night, that is routine. You know, he always somehow gets someone to fall for that baseline fake and he goes baseline and then he gets the dunk. He did it the other night and he got fouled, but it wasn't a hard foul and his arm didn't even get above the rim. Like he doesn't have the lift at all.
Yeah.
There's definitely something that's not
I wonder,
right.
I'm not a doctor. I'm curious if the Achilles is acting up again. I know that he's been dinged with other stuff this season. So shout out to, by the way, Eric the Great. Resubscribed 28 months. That's a fucking day one right there. That's a day one.
You the real MVP.
He's a real MVP. Ryan's Provera pointed out, I said happy 28th. I thought it was Ryan's birthday that he turned 28th. And he's like, no, man, it's Eric's 28th month. Eric's the king. We love you. Thank you for supporting us always and everybody in chat who's always here having a good time with us. I think Bam is a for sure all-star. I would be absolutely stunned if the coaches leave him off. I understand the voters, you know, not voting him in. The voting is a popularity contest, and right. Bam doesn't have the smexiest game, and he's not scoring 33 like Embiid. So, you know, and I get it. I think most ballots have Embiid as the center regardless anyway. I'm not hurt by that. But I think the coaches are going to recognize Bam and what he's done. Coaches love that shit. They love the defense, and he's played. And Kenny, we talked about this. You know, you look at the kind of the guys who are available. I know Frankie and I talked about this too. There's a lot of guys that are at the same game amount as Jimmy and Bam. It's been a weird season, and nobody's really like been super durable except for like freaking Jokic, who like never misses a game. It's crazy. So I think he's for sure in. You don't see a way that he doesn't get in, right?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, he's still leading the league in points in the paint. If I'm not mistaken, or he's definitely high up there. Just remember, yesterday's game was on national TV, and so that's also a huge push for him to put up 30 and 15.
Thank you for pointing that out.
National TV.
Yeah.
And so I would be shocked if he's not a lock. I will say Cleveland was winning a ton, and people do really like Jared Allen, but I don't think he should be over Bam for sure.
No way. And I love Jared Allen, but they play Cleveland Ooh. Next week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They play him on Tuesday. I don't know if that's a national TV game or not, but and they have by the way, when Bam has that block on Tatum, which great defense by Hamish to kind of force him into Bam.
Mm-hmm.
When Bam has that block on Tatum at the end of that game and then goes coast to coast with the dunk, that's the kind of moment that sticks with somebody that when you think about a guy's DPOY candidacy, that's the kind of shit you think of. Like, you think of the guy that is changing the outcome of games.
Right.
Not in a like, look at his VORP, you know, when he's on versus in a way that you can see and understand. Everybody knows I love stats and I love, but when you see it tangibly, you're like, oh, that's what that guy does. That changes things.
Gee, look who the closing five was. Yeah, you recall who closed the game?
It was Oladipo, Bam,
Hamish. No, it wasn't.
It wasn't Oladipo. It was Tyler.
No, it was not.
Tyler, Hamish.
Let me tell you who closed with Bam. This is how you know how good he is. It was Tyler. It was Gabe.
Yes.
It was Max and Hamish with Bam.
You're right.
That's who closed. That he had them working on a string.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was the comeback with that unit, and you stay. And sorry, but you stay with that unit. That's the unit that brought you back. That's who you stay with.
Mm-hmm. And Spo did the right thing. Look, Kyle put the sweater back on. Kyle put the hoodie back on. You know what I mean?
That should be like coaching 101. Like, for anybody out there who doesn't really understand it, anytime a team leads a comeback and is on that run, you don't mess that up.
Especially when they're all young.
You go with it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you go with it. You go with it.
And they've had like a bunch of days off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could – and Bam played the whole fourth quarter, which Tiff, I actually want to ask you this as somebody who's played at a high level before. I sometimes want them to play Bam the whole fourth quarter, and then I'm like, that's probably not good in the long term, but sometimes they need it. And I guess if you need that enough, you're not really a good team, so don't even waste your breath. I just feel like sometimes they should play him the whole fourth quarter.
Right. I think that it's interesting because this is the type of team where it's like sometimes you want him to have a break, sometimes you like let him play. But because there's so many injuries, that's why we see the fluctuation with numbers and all those things. I think that he looks healthy now. You know, there was a point where he was dinged up. There was the wrist or the hand or whatever. He looks healthy. And to be realistic, like if they're going to make a push to get anywhere between, you know, 4, 5, or 6 and to stay there, he's got to start playing heavy minutes because it's either him or Jimmy. Somebody is going to have to play heavy minutes. And I think the way that Jimmy approaches the regular season, considering the way his body is and all the miles and everything, I think it's got to be Bam.
Yeah. And the way Jimmy plays in general, it's just, it's a lot of contact.
With reckless abandon. Yeah.
Yeah.
He can't sleepwalk.
Yeah, so it's going to have to be Bam.
He can't sleepwalk his way to his stats. Like,
No.
D Wade could, like, you know, not pay attention and walk into 22 points and 5 assists and 5 rebounds. Bro, Jimmy to do that, that's a fucking labor, bro.
Yeah. He's getting to the line. He's beating guys up. He's getting beat up. You don't want that.
Right. A whole bunch of regular season. Sweat.
Right. But I think Bam's going to have – he's going to have to play heavy minutes. But I think it's who you keep him out there with, which will also help. That closing unit last night, are they the greatest closing unit? No. But all those guys are familiar with Bam, and I think that helped. They've all played some time with Bam. So – you could see he was out there directing traffic. He had them where he wanted them to be on the court. And so the chemistry was there, and it looked good. So I think that, like, you just keep putting players out there with him that he's comfortable with, and you let him rock. And those guys – and the one thing I love, though, that I think we don't talk about enough with the guards, they're all getting him the ball.
Yeah.
Like, they are all – any guard that comes on the court – they're looking for Bam. And I think that right there in itself is what will hopefully kind of propel them into the playoffs. Like, you keep feeding him and he's feeling good. These are the types of games that he's capable of.
I agree.
Yeah, I would like for, especially in the playoffs, I would like to see Bam continue to be the primary option and then let Jimmy be Jimmy when it's time for him to be Jimmy. But I think right now, from what Bam's shown us this season, I think it should be set in stone that he's the main guy.
He's the guy, I think, in crunch time, or, you know, I think you want kind of Jimmy running some offense. And I think I think really Jimmy's strength, and this shows up in a playoff series more than anything, he's the guy on the team that has the best mismatch hunt ability. And I think not only does that help your offense and help you find a weak spot, but that makes guys unplayable. And we've seen Jimmy play guys off the floor in almost every playoff series that we've seen. And that's huge because there are some guys that are a bit of a pain in your ass on the other end. Mm-hmm. And if Jimmy can delete them, that they cease being a pain in the ass.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Right.
You know? So, you know, that's, I will say that about Jimmy. Chat's asking about your timeline. I have no idea.
Y'all, I'm going to tell y'all the truth. I don't even, in my mind, I'm prepared to never see Yurt again.
I'm with Tiff. I mean,
I hate saying it, but it's almost like all these things need to happen for the Heat to take a look at the landscape. Mm-hmm. Because you had all these guys. Is there a way that all these guys were really going to play? Like, no.
No.
So, you know, and as much as I wanted to see some Yurt Bam action this year, it wasn't meant to be. You know, it wasn't meant to be. And I think that, like, at some point, is this Yurt's, like, is he up for a new contract next season?
I believe he signed for another. Isn't he signed for another year? Didn't they just sign him?
I don't know.
I can check. Like,
that would be good information.
I think they did 2 years last year.
So that would be good information to have. If he's due for a new contract, he gone.
Yeah. So Omer, you're like, 7.
Yeah, and I do want to acknowledge also, last we've heard, they said he might be back by the end of the season, but I don't think it's a good idea to try to implement him at the end of a season after he hasn't played.
He has a qualifying offer.
No, not at that point.
He can take the qualifying offer next year, and then he's a restricted free agent in 2023. Yeah, so it's kind of a classic, you know.
Yeah, but if he comes back at the end of the season, I would not integrate him back into the lineup at all.
No, I don't. Yeah. I don't.
Like, he.
There's too much of an adjustment for him to make.
Well, it's not even him. It's too much for the other players to make at this point.
I think somebody, you know, we have a good transition in chat. What Fig said. Subscribe to Prime. Subscribe with Prime. By the way, if you want to be subscribed to help support us and to get our emotes and to get no commercials, exclamation point Prime in chat to go to Amazon. Your Amazon Prime gives you a free subscription to any Twitch channel. So please use that for us. We love you. Before Jeff Bezos stops feeling so generous and takes that feature away. So get him in while you can, lads. Brian said he's a restricted free agent if Miami offers him a qualifying offer. So Brian gave some context to the year.
Okay.
You know what? I think they might though.
Like two.
Just because Devin's not coming back. That's very clear. And I think Orlando Robinson, he shows some promise, but he may need a little more time to develop. I think they'll bring Yurt back like for another, I don't want to say tryout or test run, but just to see what he has next season.
I gotta be honest with you, Tiff, Kenny, I'm in on Lando. And I'd like to see.
Love Lando.
I want to see what they can do when he's in a training camp with them, kind of learn the defense. I think there was a period where he looked a little shaky, and I thought he looked pretty good yesterday. And he's a young man who's going to learn. I keep calling them young men.
Yeah.
I feel old, bro.
Yeah, I'm not against it either, though.
But he's young. He's young in age. He's young as far as the NBA experience. I think that, I think for him, he's somebody you keep in your system because you, like G said, you want him to like have an off season with the team. He also still hasn't fully like developed his grown man body.
Right.
So he's going to put on some weight. He's going to put on some muscle.
He moves well.
He moves well.
That's what I was.
He's He's no pomp and circumstance. He literally just goes out there, does his thing. That's it. Mm-hmm. There's no drama to him. There's no extra weight. There's no Theraguns. There's none of that. Like, he's just doing his thing.
Man checks in, does his job, and checks out.
And that's it. And that's it. I honestly, like, I'm not. It's funny because I know everybody's going to shoot me down, but, like, I'm not mad if he's your backup center next year.
And you know, like, what? I'm yeah.
It's the four spot that I keep focusing on. Because if that's all you can attain, then guess what? I feel like keep coaching up Orlando and just, this is what you got. You're going to ride with that.
I wouldn't be mad at it either way, because I do want to point out also, and me and Frankie have put emphasis on this. I think the thing Orlando has, the team has been missing for some time, very long time, is a combination of size and mobility. And so now, like we've talked about before, there is more scheme versatility with him. They do bring him to the left for the ball on pick and roll at times. It's not just, he's not just restricted to a drop.
They don't trust him, Kenny, yet. They Spo doesn't. And they do bring him high to blitz. And
yeah, that's what I'm saying. So high to blitz. But even still, just to be able to do that. And this is not to shoot Yurt down, but that's not something you definitely trust. You don't trust Yurt in that situation. He's a little too slow.
They like to do that with these backup fives. But I just think, to your point, Lando just recovers better.
He does. Well, who did he guard? I think it was like Trae Young. There was a possession where he got caught out there. But listen, he got the stop. So it shows you he's mobile. He's smart.
Yeah,
that's a good thing that he seems intelligent on the court. Like, he doesn't get beat often.
Emergency defending is something that I think is really under talked about, because like, you know, not everything's gonna go according to plan all the time, and I just think that you need guys. PJ was great at that. when the script is out the window, you need a motherfucker that'll make a decision. I mean, we're being frank, that's just life. You know what I mean? Like, in every profession, you just need somebody there that's like, okay, I'm good with making this choice. And, you know, credit to Lando for that and kind of his development. So let's transition real quick. Last thing I'll close out the show with. Kind of the deadline, guys. We're January 25th. We're close to the trade deadline. Obviously, this team has things they need to address. I think we're all in agreement that, you know, something at the four, whether that's a wing or a tall shooter or whatever, they need something. Shooting would be nice as well, you know, to hopefully kind of put more guys back in place. Hopefully, you know, I think if you're being optimistic, Tiff, the hope is if you get somebody at power forward, it kind of puts everybody back into their natural position and they start playing a little better, including guys like Max, you know, guys like, you know, those shooters and even the guards that don't have to rebound as much and kind of wear their body. Right. I think that's like the optimist's hope. That's like, okay, we just get that. And then
I think for me, that's pretty much where I'm at. Like, I'm not thinking they're out there whale hunting or anything like that. So I think for me, I would put emphasis on trying to find a starting caliber, quote unquote, four, but you need who can shoot, who's decent on defense. Like, I'm not looking for greatness, because obviously it may not be out there, but decent on defense, who can shoot, who can pass, who has something going on between his head. Like, you got to be able to think the game if you're going to be on this team. Like, you can't just be out there being a knucklehead. Because here's the thing that I looked at last night. I love Caleb, and he was giving us scoring earlier in the season, and he was giving us a lot of things, but he just can't withstand what he needs to be at that position. He's not big enough. He's not strong enough, and it seems like it's wearing on him. So you need someone that's big enough, that's strong enough, who can also score. And here's the thing about it. If you project what we're getting from players on the bench, for instance, like, what is Vic at on the season? He had like 11 points or something like that per game. So he's around there, I think. I don't know. What, take a look and see. Yeah, I think Max is at.
Yeah, he had a nice little run that should have him up there.
Right. What Max is at like 13, and then if you've got Gabe, who's anywhere between what 7 to like 12, somewhere in that range.
Tiff, very nice, 11.9.
Boom. So what I'm trying to explain to people who like actually don't understand that they keep thinking the bench is actually underperforming. They're actually performing pretty well for a bench if you've got three guys who can give you between 10 to 20 points. Let's just say it. Like, right? You got three. I just named them. Gabe, Vic, Max. Then you got Hamish, who could come off the bench. Or Caleb, if Caleb is not dealt somewhere, who can give you something. If you put that four in there that can actually score, these bench numbers are actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Because it takes off the pressure of, I need Gabe and Max to give me 20 points. I shouldn't need them to give me 20 points. I should be cool with them saying, I got 12 respectively, I got 13 respectively. Like, that's where you really should be when it comes to your bench. Because you don't have a 20-point score per night on the bench. You don't. But what you do have is guys who can actually give you between 10 and 15, plus a few rebounds, plus some assists, and stout defense. Like, that's what you got. And honestly, if everybody's in position, you don't have the worst bench in the league. Mm-hmm. But you need a four to put Caleb back where he belongs.
Yeah, and I think ideally that is what they will get. They will get a starting four to put Keller back in this position. And
they'll try at least.
So I agree with that. That's what I'm getting to. And so I've gotten to a point also just based on the availability and like that's – most fours are like really versatile wings, and that's really valuable in the league. And so I think if they have to settle for this, quote-unquote – I think a backup for Caleb would be fine also. Not for Caleb to still – just for Caleb to not have to be power forward full time. He can start those first 6 minutes at power forward and then spoke and figure some stuff out, like having guarding smaller guys and like having – being in a more natural position after that.
Could you imagine
– I just don't know who's going to be available.
Could you imagine like Caleb as a guy in SpongeBob who's like in all the casts and Andy comes in and says, Caleb, I know you wanted someone to play four. I got the next best thing. I got someone to back you up so you can play for it.
Yeah, but I just the reason I say that is because if they're not able to get a starting caliber power forward, they still need to address their front court depth.
You got
to
go shooter.
Regardless, they have to do something about that.
You call Utah, you know. I'm not going to lie. I call Sacramento. And I see, you know who I'm talking about, my boy Harry B. Oh, no. I don't think they
part. They're winning though. I don't know.
He's too good. I have a question.
Okay.
Because he's expiring next season for Sacramento, and I don't know. I don't know if they're gonna want to re-sign him. Would you do Oladipo and salary for Harry B? Not that they would do it. Listen, everyone in chat is telling me to let it go. I can't let it go. He's the one that got away, damn it.
You know what? I would need to see their agents.
Because I say that because Sacramento can re-sign Oladipo, who's younger, and maybe this is stupid. Probably is stupid, but I just really want Harrison Barnes. Like Vanderbilt's a name that's floated around. I don't imagine Boston's going to move Grant Williams, although I don't think they want to pay him. So if you're Miami, obviously, you know, you have to pick up the phone or at least continue conversations, as Leif has reported over at Five Reasons. I think Vanderbilt's another guy that's been talked about. Bogdanovich is a guy. I just think Miami's going to be outbid for Bogdanovich.
Olynyk, I like him, though.
I love him.
I like him slotting in at that four spot.
I just don't know.
We don't have enough.
Do you give up a first?
I'd give up one first.
You give up one first and what else? And
Yurt.
What if it's one first Deadman? And Jovic?
Well, so
I'm not gonna lie to y'all. I'm gonna be honest.
I'd give up
if they said we could have Bogdanovich. Wait, but is he gonna be a free agent?
No, he's under. He's under contract.
So he's under contract.
Yeah.
I'd give up a first in Jovic. They're not gonna. They're not playing him anyway. I don't know about just sitting on the player if you're not gonna be in the rotation. Like, what's the point?
Yeah, I think Jovic sees some minutes next season. I do want to see his development here, but I think I do want to point out the Pistons are just gonna sell anyway, and so I don't know if they're gonna really care to get Jovic. They may just take Deadman in a pick or something and just wave
Deadman. Give him the first Deadman and Yurt.
Yeah, they're not gonna ask for too much. They know they're not. They want a lot.
So I'm gonna say something about Bogdanović. He has an extension for 2 years, going up until 2025 for $20 million and $19 million, right? So, Tiff making a face. Detroit gave him that.
I'd do it.
So you know Duncan has to go in that.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I don't know if Detroit want. I don't see.
Okay, they don't want. I don't think they would want.
Yeah, because really, what it is like it's the same money, you know. Mm-hmm. So you know, but you can get more value. So okay, so you swap the contract. So that's a little not really attractive for Detroit. You give a first. You give Jovic. I'm out at two firsts. I mean, at two firsts.
Oh, I'm not giving.
That's right. Ridiculous.
And I'm not. And I'll be honest. And I don't know if people will like this. I'd actually throw in Caleb.
I don't hate that. I think Caleb.
Because what you do is, and then you know who the backup would be? Hamish.
Yeah. I don't hate that. Caleb. I don't hate that. I'm scared of a physical. I'm not gonna lie.
Might not pass, but
this is a shit deal, by the way. Like for Detroit, they have to get something back, which is like Miami's problem. You know what I mean? And it's right. Like, bro, it's like, I know Kenny, I know you love Tyler, but like, I was a guy, I was like, fuck, I love Donovan Mitchell, but like, do they want our planner as shit and Tyler Hero? Like, I don't think so. It's like a bunch of shitty picks that are fucking 20 years from now and then a contract that no one wants. You know what I mean? It's like Cleveland's like, dude, you like Colin Sexton, who's really good right now, who's way cheaper than Tyler Hero and a bunch of picks that are really soon? And it's like, damn, shit, that sounds better than what we got. And I just worry that they're just going to get outbid. So they got to go like, you know what it is? It's like you can't ask the most handsome person to prom first. Because, you know, especially if you're like me, you know what I mean? Like I'm like a five or a four. I can't go up to like above my weight. I got to go to like, you know, people in my weight class to ask them, you know, so they got to start lower. They can't waste their time negotiating with Bogdanović for Bogdanović, because then all the other guys are gonna get traded. That was a bad analogy.
That's what happened in the offseason.
That was a shitty analogy.
Right. But here's the thing. Like, it depends on where they see the team going. If mm-hmm. they feel like Bogdanović or someone of that caliber can help push them past the first round and into the second and possibly a little bit further, then go for it. What are we talking about? Like, or do they just think that, like, let's just tinker and then we'll make changes in the offseason?
I mean, he's
so 33, I think it depends on what.
Yeah, he is 33.
He's 33.
He is 33. And I think this is maybe just my preference, but I feel like if they're going to get anybody, that person should also be able to defend a little better than Bogdanović does. Especially if you're losing Caleb in the deal. You're going to have to bring some defense.
He was not the problem. Utah had a really good defense, and he certainly was not the weak point. It was
for sure.
It was
I think he'd be fine. I actually think because of his build, because of scheme.
And size.
I think he'd be fine. I just think because of his size and his shooting capability, like, he's right there.
I don't think Kelly defends better, Chat.
Huh?
Chat saying Kelly's what? Cheaper and defends better. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, Kelly
defends
better.
Yeah, I don't know.
Kelly does what better?
Defends. I'm like, I don't think you watch much Bogdanović. And you
I'm a Kelly fan, but I'm not going to lie.
We don't got to lie. You know what I mean?
Y'all ain't got to lie, Craig. Y'all ain't got to
We're desperate, lie. But we don't got to lie.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of on the fence about it because I do think bringing Kelly back in with again, the offense isn't good, but they have a lot of capable playmaking. I think bringing Kelly into the fold with that would help some stuff. Right. But if you're looking for size, Kelly gives you size and stature, but not in play. And so I don't know if that's really the
right.
best move.
I don't think he plays big either.
No, he doesn't.
I just think, are we winning? Like, what are we doing?
Well,
are we just trying to tidy up the cabinet?
Yeah.
Or are
the
we
offense would be interesting, but it's right. I don't think Kelly's the move.
Are you just trying to fuck shit up? Like, and this is what I'm saying. Go ahead, G.
And that's why I don't want to move. That's why I'm like very hesitant about moving a pick. I think that they're at best right now, as presently constituted, at best. That means like shit has to go right for them. A second right. round out. You know, they right. need the right matchup in the agree. First round. Maybe a guy, you know, gets a stomach flu and can't play for four games or something, and they ride, you know, some momentum and they win a tough fought 6 or 7 game series, and one of those games some shooter has a good night and the other one Jimmy fucking grifts his way into winning it. But I don't really see the path for contention. They haven't shown you I don't know, guys. Have they shown you that they're a team ready to contend? They can't win four fucking games in a row.
They're not. But that's why I'm saying, what are the moves for? Are the moves to just pacify the team and say, mm-hmm. we brought in new blood? Or are you literally looking at the landscape and saying, okay, there's been a lot of injuries. The division is tight. The standings are tight. All we need is to slide up to that fourth spot and we can try to shake things up. Like, so what are you doing? Because if you told me you brought back, I don't know, Bogey and Bay or this one, or like, if you're bringing me up multiple players, then you're telling me you're trying to win right now. But mm-hmm. if you just show up at my house with a fucking basket of like sweet potatoes and Kelly Olynyk, you just try to pacify
what
my
kind
soul.
Of sweet potatoes? Japanese sweet potatoes? Those are good.
Nah.
I never had them.
Sweet potatoes that an old black lady made in the kitchen.
Okay. Those sound good.
Those sweet potatoes. Those and you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, hell yeah, I do. So I do want to point out also, though, they're in a weird spot also, because
I'm sorry, that was really fucking but, funny.
But no, they're in a weird spot too, and I think they understand that current constructor they're not winning a championship, and I think right. with that they have leaned a little into development, kind of right under our noses. I understand part of it is injury, but Hayward Hausman has played a ton of minutes this season. They have leaned a lot on Tyler and Bam, while also trying to work things out with Jimmy. They've given Kyle less responsibility. They'll never punt a season. They'll never give up. They're always going to want a championship. But they also have these young guys that are developing. They have Kyle's going to be a very interesting and very attractive piece in the offseason. So like I said, they're not punting this season. But I also don't think this is the year where, like, you know what, we have to win necessarily. So I don't know if they're going to be as willing to part with these first-round picks, because I just think they kind of know who they are and what's available.
They
also
are under no grandeur that this team is better than it is. If we know, mm-hmm. listen, if we see it, Eric Spoelstra sees it. And I was tweeting mm-hmm. about this the other day, because people were like, man, I hope we lose this game against Boston so that the front office, if it makes them aware of the problems. And I'm like,
yeah, it's a little ridiculous.
And listen, and I don't want to do that, Kenny, because I just think some people don't know. You know, I've had the fortune of, you know, being in the locker room, covering the team, being around people who know, talking to people who know. I'm thankful that I've had that. And I don't think a lot of fans, I think that that's a reasonable thing to think, because they're not doing anything. And sometimes Pat just sits on his ass. So I don't think it's unreasonable for fans to be like, well, what the fuck is wrong with them? Because they keep saying, we have enough, we have enough. So if they're the organization is saying something to the public and the fans are taking it at face value, which why wouldn't they? Because, you know, this is, you know, they're just taking what the people are telling them. You know, I don't blame them for thinking that. But
yeah,
they are under no grandeur that this team is better than it is. Eric Spoelstra, the way that they make decisions, It's Spo, it's Pat, it's Andy, it's Nick Arison and Mickey, and they all make these decisions together. And Mickey defers to the basketball guys on Basketball Ops. But these guys make decisions together. And whether that's good or bad because it's too many cooks in the kitchen or whatever, this is not a Pat's asleep at the wheel, you know. Or, but Andy runs most of the Basketball Ops. Pat just shows up to fucking meetings and talks to people. Andy's real the brains of the operation over there. But that's what it is, and they have been scarred with overvaluing their own guys and cap assets like Duncan, and I think they're not going to do the same with Max and Gabe. I think they've learned their lessons with Hassan, with Duncan, and even
James Johnson.
And those are reclamation projects. Those aren't their own guys, right? So they've made these mistakes and they've overvalued these guys, and I think sometimes they get too cute and trying to be too flexible and try to not – they get a little too cute for their own good sometimes. And that's kind of their fault. Last offseason probably was a result of that. None of these guys available was the perfect fit. They were waiting for Durant, blah, blah, blah. They ended up doing nothing, and now look, now we're all like complaining all the time. So they know the problem, and I think there's explanations as to why they did something not – these people are inept. It was they banked on certain things, like their homegrown talent developing did not happen. These guys did not get better. They've all regressed or stayed the same or gotten hurt. And it all happened at the same time. Bam's the only dude that got Bam and Tyler are the only dudes that have gotten real better. Jimmy is Jimmy. Kyle has fallen off a cliff. And it's like you just can't plan for all these things to happen.
Right.
They thought that they were gonna go in with, okay, well, we're a little undersized. Vic is going to come back. He's going to give us some defensive punch. You know, Gabe looked really good. You know, Max is coming into his own. You know, if we need to rest Max, we got Duncan who could play some spot minutes here and there. Okay, we're going to have Yurt as a legit backup five. We can kind of move on from Deadman. You know, at least we're going to have some good shootings and we're going to have a decent defense because Bam and Jimmy are excellent. And we're going to kind of have Caleb at the four until we can figure out a solution. None of those things happened. And I think they were reasonable things, Tiff, to expect. Right. And it just didn't pan out that way. And now they have egg on their face. And they're like, well, now they're in disaster mode.
Right, right. I mean, is it and the funniest thing is it really disaster mode?
Like, yeah, right now,
they're, still at what? They're in the sixth seed?
27 and 22.
Right, like,
I think it's sixth seed.
It's so funny because for as bad as they've looked, they're still in there. they're still hanging around. So I don't think this season will be as disastrous as it actually could be. I don't think it'll be as good as we all want it to be, but I think that this is the season as to where they do have to figure out what's the next step with the roster. And sometimes that happens. Like sometimes you're not going to be as good as you are, but it gives you a fair opportunity to stand back and evaluate each person on the roster.
Yeah. And just to kind of close up on the other topic, and I'm not here to bash fans. I don't have the energy to do all that shit, but we say all this stuff just to kind of say and let the audience know, it's just not that easy. It's like other teams have to say yes. As far as the offseason, I understand the frustration, but Kevin Durant did freeze the whole league. It wasn't just the Heat. Everybody was after him. Nobody could move until they figured out what happened with that. Yeah, so it just was what it was. The Rudy Gobert price, that raised the stock of picks, and so that hurt the Heat also. There's a lot of factors that go into it. And so I do understand the frustration because they have spoiled us over the years. With the transactions, with Will Hunting, they do spew a lot of rhetoric that they probably shouldn't, but kind of have to for PR purposes. As far as there's winning and there's misery and other stuff like that, they say those things because they're supposed to.
And by the way,
Pat
deserves to take shit because he said that. And that's something that Jack Alfonso, former host of the Weird Al pregame show, I remember we were having a conversation. Mm-hmm. He's like, there's winning and there's misery.
So
that's Pat's words, not ours. And he's right.
Yeah. And so I just want to say I understand both sides of it because I'm the person, I just don't get frustrated with pretty much anything. I don't care. But I understand both sides of it. It is frustrating to watch, but it is also a very difficult job, especially when you are Pat Riley and like teams are, for lack of a better term, kind of afraid of you. Like, if you notice every trade rumor, people just throw the Heat in there because if this player goes to the Heat, it's going to really become something. And well, no, so
they make teams, calls.
I don't want to say
that's
yeah, like, they make calls, you know, also.
These, I mean, this reporting is not. This is not a reporter hedging their bet. It's either you know, Pat make, if a GM is saying to a reporter, "Oh, the Heat are calling." Even if the Heat aren't calling, it's a good bet to if you're a reporter to mm-hmm. leak the Heat as leverage because they are historically mm-hmm. aggressive team.
Yeah, front office. That leads me right back to my point. It's not from a lack of trying. With the Heat, it's never from a lack of trying, and so I don't blame Pat, Andy, or anybody for when things don't happen. They are on those phones constantly.
They deserve some heat. I think we also should do a good job as kind of media members or media light members, whatever you want to call us, fanalists. I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. We're in this weird space.
Just understanding
weird space and technology to kind of understand and digest what's going on because it's not. Mm-hmm. It's not so black and white, and they also deserve some heat. And just as, you know, Kyle deserves heat, and guys deserves heat, and I do think there's a nuance to the way that these decisions get made that I think is important.
Yeah, and granted, there are some things they deserve criticism on. There are things they do I don't like. I don't personally love when they re-sign guys strictly for trade purposes. Maybe more teams do that. I don't really pay attention.
They do it the most.
You know, I'm not the transaction
they
guy.
They do it the
but
most.
They do it a ton, and they hedge their bets on these guys being good. It's a little risky for me, but it also has worked in the past. And so I can't get too mad at it. But that is something that frustrates me at times.
Tiff, it's because, like, unlike other teams, they don't trade guys a year before they're up for mm-hmm. something. So they just say, well, I want to play out the season. I'll sign this guy and then do something with him.
Right.
Yeah, so that's kind of where they live.
And I mean, and that's the space that they're living in now.
Mm-hmm. All capped out. You
know? Because I think we all know they weren't meaning for Dettman to finish out the season here.
It's not even
their plan was Yurt, and Dettman was a good sizable contract. I think Oladipo, that may have been an incentive for him, but he's outplayed it at this point, I believe. But I think they've made signings. I don't know if this offseason was necessarily about running it back, quote unquote. I think they just thought they were going to be able to trade these guys a lot easier than they have been.
Yeah, and they've been wrong about that before with Deion and JJ. They, mm-hmm. they did trade them eventually, but it wasn't easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they had mm-hmm. to attach a pick in all of that, which has been that pick that they – but your boy, Tiff Moe, when they traded Hassan for for Redacted and Mo, they sent – and this is the most frustrating decision the front office has ever made to me. They sent Harkless and a pick to the Clippers to get rid of Harkless, and the Clippers started Harkless. So the fact that they were – that pick was extorted out of them for a guy that they started, it just drives me crazy. And that pick got sent to the Thunder for Paul George, and that's a clip. That's
of course
pick
it
that
did.
Is, yeah, that's the pick that is in Oklahoma City that Sam Presti is being an asshole about. That there are protections on that pick that are really the reason why they can't trade future picks. So it's funny how that all works. It's a kind of comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I hate how excited I was about Mo Harkless and Avery Bradley coming to Miami.
We all were, Kenny. Well, I wasn't excited about Avery, but I was excited about
we,
Mo Harkless.
Who's we all?
I said I.
Tiff, I told myself.
I was like, oh, Avery Bradley's bringing that defense down here. And
bro,
I did not. You know.
I know you know. I talked myself into Mo Harkless corner shooter.
And then he went to Sacramento, was dunking on people. I was like, all right, man.
Yeah.
Tweeting at us.
Yeah, dude. Dickhead. Okay, last thing I want to say, because people are like, tax. They're talking about the tax. The Heat are going to be a tax team because of Jimmy.
Regardless.
Jimmy Supermax. Mm-hmm. Near Supermax, Brian Gwynn's correct me the other day. He's like, well, near Supermax, not Supermax. Jimmy's big fat Greek contract, Tyler's extension, Bam's extension, and whatever's left of Duncan's money, that's going to push you into being a tax team to fill out the rest of the roster. Mm-hmm. There's no way around that. And what happens is if you're a tax team 3 out of 4 years or something, or 5 out of, or 3 out of 5, I don't know the exact number, you become a repeater tax team. And what they're trying to avoid, not the luxury tax, although they would like to avoid that too, is the repeater tax that they will not be able to avoid. So by staying under the tax now, they can avoid being a repeater tax until the Jimmy Supermax expires, which is the repeater taxes. I think only the Warriors are the team that have survived the repeater tax because it's just the most – it truly deters spending, like, more than anything. It's so punitive. It's why they amnestied Mike Miller. It's – you know, because I believe Mike Miller's contract was going to cost them three times as much as it was worth. It was something ridiculous. So that's kind of where they go. And I think with that, I think it's a good way to end the show. I'm excited for the second half of the season. You know, as Eric Reed says, March is the launching pad for Eric Spoelstra team. So hopefully we get some fun stuff. Hopefully Bam's an all-star. I personally had Jimmy Butler on my ballot. I hope he is an all-star. I hope Tyler goes to the three-point contest. I hope Hamish goes to the dunk contest. I hope Deadman goes to the skills competition or a talent show where he's juggling thermoguns. I hope our Heat guys are in All-Star Weekend showing out, and thank you guys for supporting us. Next week, Hangover Time is against the New York Knicks. So tune in next Thursday, February, and you know, if you know how MHB does February, I know that you might be excited for what's to come. And I will, you know, we're off the rest of the week. I'll see you guys Monday. And or do they play on Sunday? I don't know. Whatever. I'll see you guys next weekday for a show or a pod. Love you guys.